President of the Greater Huntsville Interdenominational Ministerial Fellowship, and to all the ministers who are here, including Pastor Emeritus Cole and the pastor, former pastor here. We're so delighted, all the deacons and mothers and members and friends who've gathered here this morning. This surely is the day that the Lord has made, and certainly we are glad to be here. I want to honor the First Lady and First Family of this church, amen, and my wife who has come, amen, to be here. Amen. Many of you knew Elaine before I knew her, amen. Went to school with her, maybe even kinfolk, I don't know. I know I inherited a large family when I married into this beloved family of friends and Thompsons, amen. And I would thank God for our being here in Huntsville. I thank God for this pastor. Everything that he said about me, it goes double for him, amen, because he is a wonderful leader and minister in this community, and we thank God for his friendship and the fellowship we enjoy. Always enjoy seeing his sons, because I know, along with the pastor, that I've got some friends for Tennessee, amen. I even hate to say that after yesterday's drubbing at the hands of Florida, but amen, amen. Thank you for inviting me. Thank God for this wonderful choir, amen, the male chorus, this male group here this morning. Thank you for the honor and privilege, Pastor, for letting me stand here in this preaching place, and we're just honored to be here. I want to be true to your theme, men determined to finish the race, and I want to invite your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, for the words of our text for this morning. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we have gathered here because we're determined to finish this race. You started a good work in us, in the men, women and young people of this church. And we know that you don't leave anything or anyone incomplete. And so we praise you right now for your perfecting work that you're in the midst of doing in all of our lives. Forgive us our sins and our trespasses, faults of words, of deeds, of that which we have omitted. And even as David prayed, create within us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. Bless me now as I stand here, speak to and through me, hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. This we ask in the name of Jesus, and let the church say, amen. Amen. From those words of Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 that I read in your hearing, I want to preach from this subject, fit to finish. Amen. Fit to finish. Can I just get somebody to say, fit to finish? And can I get you to say, I am fit to finish? Ask your neighbor, are you fit to finish? It takes hours of training and conditioning and sacrificing to run a successful race. It takes hard work and practice of techniques and many times doing weight training. It takes putting away poor eating and sleeping habits. No one can run a race the next day by eating a whole bowl of ice cream and big old hunk of chocolate cake and only get a couple of hours of sleep. that would lead to a disaster in running a race. If we're gonna run, and like the choir just sang about, we've gotta be fit and conditioned. There's an old African proverb that states, every morning in Africa, an antelope wakes up. It knows it must outrun the fastest lion or it will be killed. Every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the slowest antelope or it will starve. So it doesn't matter whether you're a lion or an antelope, when the sun comes up, you better be running. I came by this morning to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, when the sun comes up, you better be running. Your presence here today is an indication that you are already running. Your participation in the life of this church by the giving of your time and talents and tithes and offerings and services of different kinds is an indication that you are running. Even your theme today is a testimony to the fact that you are running, not to see what the end's gonna be, but because you've already peeped at the last book, you scanned it, and you know what the end is gonna be. And so I just came to encourage you to keep on running. We don't always run at the same pace, but we've gotta keep on running. Hear me today, we can't finish the race if we never start. We can't finish the race if we're indecisive about our commitments. We can't finish the race if we're sluggish and slacking in nurturing our souls in prayer and in reading and meditating in the Word of God by coming to Sunday school and Bible study. Can I get somebody to say amen? We can't finish this race if we aren't renewing our mind by the Word of God, letting the truth of God's Word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We can't finish the race if we're not daily dying to ourselves, daily cooperating with the Lord and allowing the Lord's Spirit to order our steps and allowing the Lord's will to be done in our lives. We can't finish the race if we're stalled and in half-hearted commitment. We can't finish the race if we're stuck in the mire of worldliness. We can't finish the race if we're always quitting every time we encounter a difficulty. Someone said, if the word quit is in a part of your vocabulary, then the word finish isn't. We can't finish if we're always quitting. We've got to prepare in order to finish this race. If we always got our eyes on somebody else rather than ourselves and especially the Lord, we can't finish. We can't finish if we're weighted down with a lot of distractions of the world. We can't finish if we're entangled in sin as a habitual lifestyle. We can't finish the race if we're always stopping and starting. My brothers and sisters, so let's keep on running. I couldn't help but smile when the choir got to singing that because it was right here in the middle of my sermon. Lee Williams captured what we're talking about with the words that the choir sang. I'm running for my life. Running because I want to see Jesus. I made up my mind I'm going to run while I still got time. I got to run. I got to run while the blood, come on y'all, is still running warm in my veins. Hills get high, but I gotta run. Valleys get low, but I gotta run. Steps sometimes get slow, but I gotta run. Friends are gone, but I gotta run. When it looks like I can't make it, enemies are all around me, I still, can I get somebody to say, I gotta run. Ain't got nowhere to go, I steal away, I gotta run. Look up and tell the Lord, I'm gonna run while the blood is still running warm in my veins. Do I have any men here today? Do I have any women here today? Do I have any saints of God that just telling the Lord right now, I've gotta run, I'm gonna run. I know what the end is, I know what's waiting on me, so I'm gonna run. while the blood is still running warm in my veins. The 16th chapter letter from the Apostle Paul to the saints at the church in Rome, and therefore to us, focuses on two matters that is very important for us. First of all, we need to know the truth. We got to know what we believe. If we're going to be fit to finish, we can't just believe anything. Now, folks today, they say, it doesn't matter what you believe. Can I say, yes, it does. It matters what you believe. Some folks say, every faith is the same. No, it ain't. You can believe what you want to believe. No, everybody's not the same. No, you got to know what the truth is, because Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so Paul talks about what we need to know in this chapter. He talks about things that we need to know. He affirms some things. One of the things he said is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. He said, this is something you need to know, that the just shall live by faith. This is something you need to know, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Listen, you hope y'all get that. Listen, all have sinned. That's past tense. Present tense, all fall short of the glory of God. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Somebody ought to shout and say thank you. Paul talks about what we need to know, but he talks about what we need to do. Because really, what we do is an expression of what we know. Can I get a witness? What we believe is what we practice. Now, I know folks say, well, it don't matter. I'm just doing something. No, what you believe, you're really putting into practice. Here, the Apostle Paul says some things in the opening of this letter that I want to lift up to us this morning. And that is, first of all, we need to get past the past. I'm fit to finish when I know I am past my past. Can somebody say, I'm fit to finish because I'm past my past? At the very opening of this chapter, he says we got to get past our past. Hear what he said. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we are peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm past my past. Insofar, listen, my past, I don't know about y'all, but my past is so far in my view mirror. That I can't even see it anymore. Can I get a witness? You need to put your past in the past so that it doesn't cause you guilt, that it doesn't cause you shame, that it doesn't drown you in bondage. You need to put your past in your past. I joined Milton Bronson when he said, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound, no more chains holding me. My soul is resting, and it's just another blessing. Praise the Lord, I'm free. Do I have anybody free this morning? The only way you can put your past in the past and be free is knowing that you have already been justified by faith. We are guilty as charged, but acquitted because of the grace of God. The word justified means just as if I had never sinned. Thank God the past is in the past, because God has justified us. God has made us right with himself. God has acquitted us. God has canceled out our sins. And therefore we have peace with God. We're no longer enemies, no longer foreigners. There's no brokenness in our relationship. Jesus is the bridge between us and God. Now, because of Jesus, our past is our past. And we have access to God by faith, in which this grace that we stand, access to God. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the veil in the temple was split from top to bottom. We have access to God. Therefore, when the writer says in Hebrews, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. We've got access to God. I don't have access to everybody. None of us have access to everybody, but thank God 24/7 we have access to God. Can I get a witness? I don't know about you, but that's a part of men of Hopewell and women of Hopewell and young people of Hopewell. It's important to know that we have access to God. That means that no matter where I am, I've got access. I know I've got access in the church, but it's also good to know that I've got access at home. If somebody here is going to need access in the morning when you get to that workplace. Somebody's going to need access at school when you get there. Somebody's going to need access in the hospital when you go to the doctor and you got to have some tests. I'm glad that I've got access. Don't need no mediator. Don't need no go-between. I've got access. That makes me want to rejoice right now. My past is in my past, and now I have access. That's why we can sing Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Can I get a witness? Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Come on, I've got access. And there's nothing between our Savior and us. I'm past my past, and I'm fit to finish because I'm justified by faith. I have peace with God. I have access by faith, and I can rejoice in my hope. I'm fit to finish because I'm past my past. Secondly, I'm fit to finish because I'm stronger because of my trials. Come on, somebody say, I'm stronger. Not only that, Paul says in verse 3, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. My brothers and sisters, there's a place for suffering in the Christian life. We don't invite it. We don't want it. It stays a whole lot longer than we desire. But we are better and stronger and wiser because of our sufferings. Do I have a witness? Don't you be hoodwinked and pay attention to these prosperity folk. These health and wealth folk that tell us that if you got enough faith, you won't be sick and you won't have sorrow and you won't go through problems. Listen, my brothers and sisters, God, Jesus said this, in this world, you will have. Come on, can I get some help? John 16:33, in this world, you will have tribulation, hard testing times, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Everything we facing, he's already won the victory. We're gonna suffer in this life. Being a child of God does not exempt us from trials and troubles, tribulation and tests. But once we start the race, we can't give up because of that stuff. We've got to persevere with patience. Sometime, I want to tell you, we're going to shed some tears. Sometimes we're going to deal with disappointments. We're going to be faced with betrayals. We're going to have to weather some fiery ordeals. Tongue lashings of folk who don't like us. Can I get a witness? You're going to have to sometime go to your job and deal with not being treated right. Sometime you're going to go home, and home ain't always as happy as heaven. Come on, do I have a witness? And even here in the church, not up here in New Market, but back in Huntsville, sometimes you dread going because church is dismal. because of all of the issues between people in the church. Do I have a witness? Sometime we just men, since this is men's day, we gotta just put on our big boy britches and man up. Come on, do I have a witness? And in spite of whatever we're facing, we gotta keep on pressing on. Pressing on through our troubles. In 1 Thessalonians 3:3, Paul writes that no one should be shaken by afflictions, because know that these things are appointed. Can I tell you this morning that we are appointed to have troubles? We are appointed. I thought that might be some rejoicing when you hear that. We are appointed to have trials. We are appointed to face stuff that we didn't invite and don't prefer, that's hard on us, but it's good for us. We are appointed. God has divinely appointed and supernaturally provided that even though we face it, we'll get on the other side of it. We'll get through it, because with every appointment of affliction, God also appoints grace. Do I have a witness? Every time you face something, you're not facing it by yourself. You're not alone. He does not abandon you. Can I get a witness? But instead, he is with you. And I heard Paul said that when he was going through and had this thorn in the flesh, and it was so hard on him, and he couldn't deal with it, and he said, wanted God to take it away, to remove it. And I heard God tell him that my grace is sufficient. My presence, my unmerited love, my favor and strength, yes, is sufficient. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And what we find out is that when we are weak, then we are strong. I don't know about you, but I know I couldn't have made it, Brother Pastor, if it had not been for the grace and the mercy and the strength and the wisdom and the provision and the protection and the support and the sustaining power of the mighty God. I wish I just had some witnesses here that know you didn't make it on your own. You didn't get through your troubles all by yourself. It wasn't your hookup. It wasn't your partner. It wasn't your family. It wasn't your friends. It wasn't what you knew. It wasn't where you went to school. It wasn't what you had in the bank. But what you, where you made it to the day is because of the grace of God. Somebody here this morning ought to celebrate grace. When they wanted to get rid of you, fire you off your job, wouldn't promote you, wouldn't give you a good recommendation and evaluation, but that's all right. You're still here because of the grace of God. Do I have somebody that would just celebrate that even in the midst of trials, His grace is sufficient. Peter said, don't think it's strange when you're facing the fiery trials of many kinds. Just know it's appointed. But don't worry about it, because you're not by yourself. And to this you have been called. You've been called to this. Andre Crouch put it well when he said, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times when I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned how to trust in Jesus. I've learned how to trust in God. I'm stronger because of my trials. Do I have a witness? Everybody here this morning that's been through something, you're better today than you were before. You've learned something about yourself, and you learned something about your God. Do I have a witness? If you've ever been sick and been in the hospital and had surgery, you didn't know by personal experience that the Lord is a doctor. You may have heard other folks say it, but until you were in the situation, then you learn how to trust in Jesus and how to trust in God. You didn't really know that the Lord would provide except through others' testimony until you were in a situation where your money was short and your bills were long and it seemed like there was no way. But then you learn by committing it in his hand that the Lord will make a way somehow. Yes, he will. We're better and we're stronger because what happens is that when we persevere and don't give up, it causes us character. It causes us character. We develop character. Brother Pastor, it's kind of like one of those commercials, that American Tourister, that luggage commercial. They throw it out there. They jump on it. They run on it. And it just shows that it has some perseverance. You and I, when we keep on pressing through our problems, pains, and perplexities, we discover what we're made of. It produces character. We can stand up. And every time you go through one thing and God brings you out, you are stronger to face the next. Do I have a witness? Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope will not disappoint. I'm not talking about some kind of mindless and baseless degree of thinking everything is going to be all right. I'm talking about confidence. Confidence. I tried him and I know that he is all right. He'll make everything all right. I've got hope that when this weeping that endures for a night, when it passes, that joy, joy comes in the morning. I've got hope that when this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, I got another building, a house of God, not made with hands. I've got hope. I've got hope that the trials of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that God has for us. I've got hope. I've seen what God has done. I'm looking at what he's doing now, and I know that trouble won't last always. Hallelujah. Do I have somebody that just shout hallelujah? Trouble comes to pass. I've got hope. I've got hope that the dark clouds of today will soon pass. Yes, I never would have made it. I'm like Marvin Sapp. I never would have made it if it hadn't been for him. Do I have somebody that can wave your hand? Never. have made it. Never would have made it. I would have lost it all. But now I see you are there for me. And all that I can say, never would have made it. Never would have made it. Wouldn't be here today if it were not for him. I'm fit to finish because my past is my past. I've got past my past. I'm fit to finish because I'm stronger because of my trials. And I'm fit to finish because I have hope. I've got hope in my heart from the Parade magazine. And then I close. Came to a story of a self-made millionaire named Eugene Land. He changed the life of sixth grade classes in East Harlem. Mr. Lang had been asked to speak to a class of 59 sixth graders. What could he say that would inspire them? What could he say that would challenge them? What could he say that would keep them from dropping out of school? He wondered, how could he get these children to stay in school? He decided, rather than going in there with some speech that he had just got off his head, he decided to speak from his heart. He told them, stay in school, and if you stay in school, I'll help you by paying your college tuition for every one of you. It is said that moment that those 59 sixth graders heard him say that, it changed their whole life. It changed their perspective. All 59 stayed in school. All 59 graduated from school. All 59, he paid their tuition. One of them will ask, how did you make it? Why did you stay? He said, because I had hope. Because I had hope that things were going to be better. I close this morning by telling you this morning, men and women of God, that listen, stay in the race. Keep on running. Keep on running. I don't know about you, but what keeps me in the race is that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, on Christ, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. How many of you this morning are fit to finish? You pass your pass. If you pass your pass, let me see you stand on your feet. If the past has been put behind you, one thing I do, Paul said, I forget the past and I press on for the mark to gain the prize of the high call of God in Christ. How many this morning know you're saved, been born again? Your sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. I'm to finish, not because of works, not because of what I know, but because of the sacrifice of Christ. Do I have a witness? You're fit to finish because he came. You're fit to finish because he lived. You're fit to finish because he died. You're fit to finish because he didn't stay dead. You're fit to finish because early Sunday morning he got up. Do I have a witness? And he lives in you. diminish because he left, ascended back to heaven, sat down on the right hand of God. He said when he was hanging, it's finished. So he sat down, and from that place, he's coming back again to get the church. I'm fit to finish. I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I thank God for what he's done for me. I thank God for what he's doing. And I showed up praising for what he's still going to do. I'm fit to finish.
Amen. What a word. What a word. This time we invite each who is able to stand. We extend an invitation.